Good afternoon. Happy Wednesday. Wednesday, April the 7th, 2021. I am Hank Jones, and you are listening to Hank Jones Poly Sports, part of Global Patriot Radio on the Blog Talk Radio Network. We are here every Wednesday. Actually, we're here every day, but I'm here every Wednesday, bringing you good stuff from politics and sports and days like today where they meet head on. And man, it's not pretty. It's not. Let's get right to it. I mean, it's exactly. That's what happened this week in politics and sports. Welcome T. Bodie and Indy Hawk to the chat room. Welcome to those that are listening in, but not in the chat room, or listening by phone, but not wanting to be visible, as they say. You can call in and talk. That number is 319-527-6706. You can listen that way, or you can hit 1 on your phone, and I'll give this little icon that says somebody wants to talk to you, Hank. Or you can just listen. Just come to blogtalkradio.com, check the live button, look for Global Patriot Radio, and you'll even see how many people are in the show listening right then and there, or in the chat room, I should say. I have a Twitter account. I sure do, at H Poly Sports. I have a Facebook account, Hank Jones Poly Sports. You can email me anytime, gmail.com. But again, the best way, if you actually want to talk, which I would hope you do, is 319-527-6706. Mrs. Hank is in the house. She's here with authority. Yes, she is. She's over in Hank Haven, the civilian adjunct to Electric Hankland Studios. That noise in the background is the dryer here in the studio, which dries various things that need to be dried, such as clothing. What's going on this week? Well, we've got other shows on Global Patriot. Mondays, Vito and Big Al, the Vito Esposito show. Tuesdays, Eric with Radio Free Kafiristan. I'm here Wednesdays. Thursdays, Paul Sutliff with the Sutliffian Report. Fridays, check out Andrew Herod with Conservative Casual Friday, a.k.a. Islam in Focus. He has good guests on. All of them do, except for me. I have great guests. No, I'm kidding. I do have great guests, but their guests are great, too. Saturday nights, 10 o'clock to midnight Eastern time, Minister Usama Dakduk and the beautiful Christy revealing the truth about Islam. And Sundays, Eric's back with Real Interfaith Dialogue. But again, a reminder, you need to register and load the app. It is not a free-for-all. It is Real Interfaith Dialogue, not fanatical screaming, kicking, crying, and swearing, as has happened evidently, which is why he had to go to that mode. Anyway, let's see what's going on. This week, Florida Democrat Congressman Al C. Hastings passed away yesterday. He was 84, two-year battle with pancreatic cancer. I actually met him a couple times. He served as a judge in South Florida way back when, until he was impeached and convicted in 1989. So, of course, he went on to Congress. He ran for Secretary of State in Florida on the platform of legalizing casinos. He ran for other state offices over the years. He was billed as the least wealthy congressman. Ironic by the virtue of the fact that he was also ranked number one for payment of salaries and fees to family members. So was he really the least wealthy? He faced some sexual harassment charges a couple different times. Not charges, allegations. He made very troubling comments about vice presidential candidate Sarah Palin during the 2008 campaign. Here's what he said. If Sarah Palin isn't enough of a reason for you to get over whatever your problem is with Barack Obama, then you damn well had better pay attention. Anybody toting guns and stripping moose don't care too much about what they do with Jews and blacks. So you just think this through. He did issue an apology. Very half-hearted apology, but he did apologize to his credit. But he was critical of President Trump's recognizing Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. He said he was for that, but he was against how President Trump did it, which is really odd because here's what happened. We now recognize Jerusalem as the undivided capital of Israel. That was it. There was no other fanfare to it, but he had a problem with that part of it. He was vehemently pro-gun control, not pro-gun, pro-gun control. He had several issues with lobbying firms, i.e. foreign policy statements and conflicts of interest. But according to numerous political types, he served admirably and with distinction. He was friendly, I'll say that, but I didn't agree with him on anything. Last Friday, this is sad. Last Friday, the folks at Animal Adventure Park in Harpisville, New York, announced that April, the famous reticulated giraffe who gave birth on YouTube back in 2017, had been euthanized due to crippling arthritis. Now, we think crippling arthritis, what's the big deal? To a giraffe, crippling arthritis is literally crippling. She had several births live streamed the past few years. And then she was put on birth control in 2019. Don't ask. I don't know. I'm not about to look it up. In October of 2020, her youngest calf, who had been transported to a zoo in Texas, died unexpectedly of parasitic and intestinal issues, just 1.5 years of age. Anyway, she was euthanized just 16 days before her 21st birthday. Really sad, because I remember when Mrs. Hank was every day was talking about it, and I didn't see it. I would hear about it, and I would see briefly. But yeah, she was really following it. A lot of people were. I mean, at one point, I think there were 3 million viewers for one of the events. So yeah, that is sad news. Politics from the Western Journal. Kathy Barnett is a conservative author and commentator who is running for the GOP nomination to the Pennsylvania U.S. Senate seat that is being vacated by the retirement of anti-Trump Republican Pat Toomey. He retires after 2022. She certainly doesn't hide her feelings about AP Biden, a.k.a. Sergeant Schultz. In a recent tweet, she said, "Kathy Barnett and I'm running to become the first black Republican woman elected to the U.S. Senate. I'll be the voice we need to defend our rights. And by the way, Joe, just because I believe in competent leadership doesn't mean I ain't black." She was defeated for Pennsylvania's 4th congressional district seat last fall, but was pretty clear that her fight was far from over. Upon her announcement, prominent black conservatives, Wayne Dupree, Larry Elder, former Georgia State Representative Vernon Jones, and new Utah Congressman Burgess Owens, all offered their support and their endorsement. She pretty much embodies the American dream. She was born to pig farmers in Alabama, but she witnessed the American dream firsthand. She's been very vocal about what has happened to black communities where Democrat leadership has taken control. Now, she said this, for instance, "The black community is a petri dish of what happens when the left comes in and takes control." She says the left has already failed on the promises made under BLM rhetoric. They ignore and devalue those who don't fall in lockstep with the left's party line on the black community. And she also said, "The white man who sits at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue believes he has the power to take away my blackness because I'm a conservative." For more from Kathy Barnett in the coming months, by the way, she's also served 10 years in the U.S. Army Reserve. Last year, she authored a book called Nothing to Lose, Everything to Gain, Being Black and Conservative in America. She made a video, by the way, on YouTube. You can find it. It's just called I'm Black and I'm Not a Democrat. She made it during the 2016 election. She basically railed on former First Lady Michelle Obama for doing ads that all but said, it doesn't matter who you vote for, just vote Democrat. And she took offense at that. Indy Hawk KB brings us a nice uplifting bit from Fox News this afternoon on the non-crisis border situation. We're at 19,000 unaccompanied minors. Way to go, Joe. In an opinion piece for The Hill, which was actually then later republished on Newsmax.com, liberal political commentator Jonathan Turley, he notes that, rather obviously, of course, but still noteworthy, he notes that the biggest advocate of fairness in the news are usually the folks that lean heavily to one side. He notes how the Hunter Biden story was not only ignored by big left news sources, but often misquoted. They used regurgitated sources, or they flat out ignored facts and evidence. He noted the cocoon around Hunter Biden and his dad, AP Biden, a.k.a. Sergeant Schultz, because he knew nothing. Yeah, that's why I call him Sergeant Schultz. He knew nothing. Turley went after NPR's Ron Elving in particular. Elving credited and used other news sources that hadn't even pursued the story. He brought up the fact that the Biden campaign, even after U.S. intelligence confirmed that it was not Russian disinformation, the campaign continued to say that it was, and even used former intel officials to endorse that claim. Aren't we all shocked by this? Sigh. In California, here's great news. 255 male prisoners have requested transfers since January. Where, you ask? Alcatraz. Venice Beach? Disneyland? No, afraid not. Folks, these 255 prisoners requested transfers to women's prisons. Yes, since Governor Gruesom Newsom signed SB 132 into law in January, every individual entering the custody of that state's Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation must be asked to specify their pronouns and gender identity and whether they identify as transgender, non-binary, or intersex. Don't find nothing about intersex, but intersex. The law, naturally, prohibits the CDCR from punishing individuals who refuse or fail to provide the info, and the info can be updated later on, and requires staff to use the gender pronouns requested. In addition to the 225 or 255 requesting transfer that are transgender women or non-binary people that are requesting women's prisons, another six that are TG men or non-binary requested men's prisons. Person confirmed not a single gender-based housing request has been refused. I'll say this, there's going to be some seriously nasty reality TV coming our way the next few years. Good. Let's get to some sports news. Baylor whipped up on Gonzaga in Monday night's men's NCAA championship basketball game. It was 86-70. Baylor basically was the aggressor from the opening tip. They led by as much as 19 points in the first half. They never led by less than 9 points the rest of the game. They outshot Gonzaga. They were superior on the defensive end. They basically just had better athletes, really. Once Gonzaga point guard Jalen Suggs picked up his second foul just about 3 minutes in, he kind of knew it might not be pretty. Now, they did reinsert him in the first half, but he was definitely tentative. He ended up being the leading scorer for Gonzaga, and he's truly a great player, great athlete. Look, give Gonzaga credit for a great season. They aren't the first team to go into the tournament undefeated and lose. They won't be the last. This is their second appearance in the final game. Despite some roster losses, which will include, I'm sure, Jalen Suggs, they have some top recruits coming on board next season, including probably the number one ranked recruit. Baylor, on the other hand, is largely upperclassmen, several transfers. Hats off to them, no doubt. Hats off to them. But it remains to be seen if they are the next blue blood. But look, in my mind, there is no doubt Gonzaga. They've now made 22 straight NCAA tournaments, by the way. They're going to be around for a while. I think Mark Few has really built something there. Yes, it's not the Big Ten. It's not the Pac-12. It's not the Big 12, the ACC, the Big East. We get that. It's not a Power 5 conference. But they've pretty much shown that they are a national player. So much like, for a while, Boise State. Or even UCF for a couple of years when they were saying they're not, if they played in a real conference. Yeah, if they played in a real conference, they wouldn't go undefeated. Duh. No doubt about that. Same with UCF or Boise State in their years. But, when they get on the big stage and have that big matchup, more often than not, they acquit themselves quite well, if not actually win outright. So don't forget, Duke lost several times before getting their first title. Once they got over the hump, they've pretty much been a fixture in March Madness until this year, actually. So, yeah, I think Gonzaga's going to be around for a while, folks. For those that say, they wouldn't have done anything this year. You don't know. I mean, what if they played Baylor back when they were supposed to, back in December? Maybe that makes the game a different thing. What if Baylor doesn't have a couple different, you know, periods of respite for COVID? Yeah, I mean, it's just been that kind of year. You know, you can even talk about it in football. Yeah, Alabama, but there were teams in the end that, you know, really nobody thought about. I shouldn't say totally, but, I mean, nobody predicted Iowa State was going to be in a New Year's Six game. Let's put it that way. Yeah, Indy Hawk says non-binary people. Who knew that was a word? I didn't until actually I was taking surveys online, and I started getting these questions. How do you identify, male, female, non-binary, or something else? I mean, there are like four choices now. That's how I discovered it. So it was really kind of bizarre. Iowa's Luca Garza can finally add the Wooden Award to his long list. He earlier won the Sporting News and the AP Player of the Year. He added the Kareem Abdul-Jabbar Award as the best center. He won the Naismith, the National Association of Basketball Coaches, and the Oscar Robertson. And then last night, the Wooden Award. Now, he lost out on that last year to Dayton's Obi Toppin, but winning it this year made him something that Obi Toppin wasn't. He is a unanimous National Player of the Year, and there have been few of those, not a lot. I mean, even Michael Jordan one year was unanimous National Player of the Year. Yesterday, though, Luca and his dad Frank announced the creation of his own NFT card. That stands for like non-fungible trade or something. An NFT card is basically one-of-a-kind digital asset. Unlike Bitcoin or other crypto coin, it can't be broken up and sold in pieces. From what I understand, it's like digital art. It will be auctioned off. The winner also receives a pair of autographed shoes, a chance to play a game of horse with Luca. I'm thinking of entering Brother Tommy in this because Brother Tommy could shoot from downtown big time. Dinner and a movie with Luca. So all that. His father, Frank, tweeted that the winner will also receive a meditation session, which Luca used to great success in becoming an elite player. He started doing it before his junior year when, of course, he broke out and said it was a huge part of his mindset and his, you know, his change in mindset. They also get a lifetime VIP pass to any Luca Garza basketball camp. Let the bidding begin. T. Bodie points out he is the most accredited basketball player to grace the courts of Iowa. No doubt. Yeah, look, I saw Ronnie Lester play, not long. I didn't see his whole career. I saw Ronnie Lester play, and Ronnie was one of a kind, just like Luca's one of a kind. Ronnie was different, though. Ronnie played without a shot clock, without a three-point line. You remember North Carolina and their famous four corners? When Ronnie Lester was at Iowa, they did not need a four corners. He literally was that elusive on the court. With the ball, dribbling with the ball, he could evade an intentional foul. There's a reason Magic Johnson said he was the toughest and best college basketball player he ever faced while at Michigan State. But, yeah, Luca Garza is one of a kind. We are not going to see for a long time anyone like him at Iowa. We've had good big men. You know, Adam Woodbury was certainly better on the defensive end than Luca, but nothing remotely like Luca Garza on the offensive end. Tyler Cook, although he played the four and the five. Tyler Cook was good, but didn't have anything remotely resembling Luca's outside shot. He had no handles. He would, on the fast break, it was a matter of when does he kick the ball out of bounds. But a good player, don't get me wrong. Greg Stokes, Brad Lowhouse. A lot of good big men over the years, but nothing in Luka Garza's class. But as we've talked in our group chat with me and brother Tommy and Hawkeye Mike and Indy Hawk and T Bodie, we've talked about, you know, sometimes it's worse when Luka Garza scores 35 or 40 points in a game because it means the rest of the team really isn't doing anything. So he moves on. Wish him well. Kids, he's deserved everything that he's got, every award he's won. He's humble. He's given all credit to his teammates and to the staff. So, you know, it's very fitting that he is the unanimous player of the year. I wish I could bid on that. That would be so cool to go to a VIP Luka Garza basketball camp. Okay, Iowa Hawkeye football fans, the Hawkeye Express is no more. That's right. The University of Iowa Athletic Department and the Iowa Northern Railway announced that continued social distancing measures that are required for this year, as well as major equipment upgrades that are needed, forced the end after 15 seasons. Now, the trail ran from a Coralville Mall to Kinnick Stadium. It was about a 10-minute trip. So I ask this question. How much upgrading is really needed for a 10-minute trip? Just asking. And with all the vaccinations and the herd immunity, why are they still going to be social distancing in September? I mean, they're expecting full crowds at most football stadiums. Not to worry, though, there will be free parking at the Hancher Auditorium and Finkbein Golf Course lots for the 2021 season. Oh, and by the way, don't expect free to last beyond this season would be my guess. Look, honestly, I never took it. I was gone from Iowa City 20 years before the thing even started. I heard mixed reviews. Definitely heard or read mixed reviews, ranging from the fact you couldn't openly drink alcohol on it. Folks, it's a 10-minute cruise. You can go 10 minutes without alcohol. But that was one complaint. Not everybody, Mrs. Hanks says. To the feeling of the unsavory aspects of riding public transportation. Now, look, I don't know if you had to have a game ticket to get on. I assume it wasn't like the CAM bus in Iowa City where pretty much anybody could ride it, even though it was supposedly for campus stuff. Indy Hawk says, too many questions, Hank. Just follow what Big Left tells us to do. No, no. Let's not kid ourselves, though. That's 10 minutes that you don't get to spend tailgating. A little quick story. I know you guys probably don't want to hear it and don't care, but it's a great story anyway, and both of them are here listening. So the 2005 Capital One Bowl, again, rightfully called the Citrus Bowl, but the Capital One Bowl, Iowa played LSU. And I, through our company at the time, got a membership and got tickets. And so Brother Tommy and I and Mrs. Hank and Mrs. Brother Tommy went, and T. Bodie and a couple folks joined us at our tailgate. T. Bodie was very late to the tailgate, by the way, but he's still caught up. So anyway, we had to get parking passes or tailgate passes, and so I was looking for optimal ones. Now, I knew I wasn't going to get the $100 ones real close, and I didn't want those. I actually got something south of the old East-West Expressway because it was a 10, 15-minute walk. And what that meant, for you folks that don't plan your tailgating well, what that meant was an extra beer or two on the way to the stadium before you were going to have to start paying $6 for beers. Well, Brother Tommy and T. Bodie, I think, made it a 4-beer walk, if I remember correctly. T. Bodie, you're in the chat room. Chime in if I'm incorrect, but I'm pretty sure I'm correct on that one. They managed 4 beers in that walk. So, yeah, see, they took the tailgate with them. And if you can't do that on the transportation, now, conversely, in Chicago last fall, a fall and a half ago, Mrs. Hank and I and another couple went for the Iowa Northwestern game. Mrs. Hank drank her pregame allotment on the L train from North Chicago to Evanston. We got off the train. Mrs. Hank had finished I hadn't even started mine. I had a big water bottle with screwdriver mixed in, another one with beer. Mrs. Hank finished hers. So, yeah, it can be done, but it can't be done on the Hawkeye Express. And Fireball. Oh, her Fireball technique, by the way, folks, is legendary. We might have a seminar on how to drink Fireball from Mrs. Hank. We'll relate that story another time. Come bowl season, it'll bear repeating. So anyway, that's 10 minutes you don't get to spend tailgating. Now, I'm going to talk a bit about something that starts tomorrow. Well, I guess the festivities started, you know, today or yesterday, but the Masters is here tomorrow. Or not here, it's in Georgia, Augusta, Georgia. Now, there's no Tiger Woods. We now know what caused his crash. Want to hear this big blockbuster cause? Excessive speed. Really? Really? So anyway, the Masters chairman is against boycotting things over the Georgia voting law. He said nobody should be disadvantaged in their ability to vote, but he also says we need integrity in our elections. He says, no, the right to vote is fundamental. No one should be disadvantaged. But it's critical that all citizens have confidence in the electoral process. This is fundamental to who we are as a people. He says he realizes that opinions differ. His name is Fred Ridley, by the way. He realizes opinions differ. Boycotting, or in the case of Major League Baseball, moving the All-Star game, is the wrong way to go about it. And we're going to talk about that, folks. I'm going to talk about that whole All-Star game thing. That's going to take up a lot of time because, well, it's just bad. This is when sports and politics collided, and it's just awful what Major League Baseball has done. And so until things change, I won't be talking about them during this show ever again. Probably not. As far as, you know, there's no Tiger Woods. Rory McIlroy's there. Patrick Reed, John Rahm, Ricky Fowler, Dustin Johnson. I think that's who Vito wants. Vito is pulling for him. You know, Zach Johnson, I'm sure, is there. Maybe not. He may not have. But anyway, it's a big time. It's back when it's supposed to be. You remember the last Masters happened in November. But this is the traditional time. First or second weekend in April. And it's in Georgia. And Georgia's got some controversy. I don't want to say controversy. Unfair controversy over this election reform. You know, as always, I still pull for Phil Mickelson all the time. Just because, I don't know, he's cool. Not because he's left-handed or anything like that. I'm not that kind of just like Phil. I think he's a cool guy. There are some folks who talk about who has a shot. By the way, this is the 85th Masters at Augusta, so it'll feel a lot more traditional. Dustin Johnson is the defending champion. So who's going to go? Look, there's certain ones that you can expect. Dustin Johnson, Justin Thomas, Xander Schauffele, Patrick Reed, no doubt. Jordan Spieth is always Bryson DeChambeau. Then you got, there's going to be two or three that we haven't heard much about. Lee Westwood, 47 years old, has been playing great. This is the Masters, it can change on a whim. Anything can happen. Bubba Watson, Brooks Koepka, and you got the next tier of guys. Jason Day, Adam Scott would be a couple of them. those guys. I'm thinking of others. Justin Rose, you know, one that hasn't been real great since he withdrew from the Arnold Palmer, the Bay Hill. So he's probably not in the physical shape to do it. But there's that level. And then, of course, there are the ones, you know, there's going to be a surprise at every level. There's going to be surprises in the back. The back of the pack, there's going to be surprises, you know, all across. You know, who's going to be the leading amateur that's always talked about? Too bad Hawkeye Mike can't be at a meeting today. Otherwise, he loves this time of year. And I remember back in college, we always watched it. We made sure that we didn't miss it when it came on because it was big stuff. It's the first major. Sets the tone. You know, what's going to happen? Will somebody, you know, will – you always think about will the winner pull out with a grand slam? You know, and it, especially if it was somebody like a Tom Watson or a Seve Ballesteros, you often wondered, hey, this could be it. And, of course, with Tiger, you thought about that too. So, you know, it's important time of year. It's important for the game of golf. I assume they're going to have full fandom back. I don't know for sure. I haven't looked. I haven't even thought about looking. You know, so much of the stuff has come back to, you know, it's outside, so they shouldn't have a problem. But so we got that going on. That's the good side of sports and politics, so to speak, in the state of Georgia. Other real quick note, this one just out. Arizona basketball has fired Sean Miller as their coach after 12 seasons. Now, Sean Miller is caught up in the FBI scandal, which was what I featured on the very first episode of Hank Jones Poly Sports. We talked about the FBI NCAA basketball scandal because Vito and I talk about what is the FBI doing getting involved in college basketball, other than the fact that the NCAA didn't seem to be doing much. But he had 1 year left. It says he's leaving, but it sounds like he's been bagged. But they had so many things going on. He's implicated in so many ways. Phone conversations, federal investigation, confirmed payments. That this is not a shock. What's kind of a shock? Arizona did a self-imposed ban for the NCAA tournament this past season. But, you know, Sean Miller, it's kind of shocking that he wasn't gone sooner. On the other hand, no time like the present. Now, here's the interesting thing. His brother, Archie, was recently fired from Indiana, and they brought in Mike Woodson, a former Hoosier star. So, you know, the Miller brothers are out, and that never followed Archie Miller, the improprieties, if you will, the allegations. That didn't follow Archie Miller, but it definitely has been with Sean Miller throughout. Here's the scary part. Arizona staff or athletic department had actually been considering a contract extension for Sean Miller. Literally. The Board of Regents wouldn't approve it because of the ongoing NCAA issues. Gee, integrity, huh? He was at Xavier before that, and his brother Archie had been at Dayton. So, you know, they got a coaching history in the family, but there are some names already popping up. Damon Stoudemire played there. He's now at Pacific. Miles Simon, who's an assistant at Los Angeles for the Los Angeles Lakers. Miles Simon was on that team in 1997 that sort of broke up the impending Kentucky dynasty. So we'll see. Eric Musselman from Arkansas will probably get some calls. Interesting to see. Of course, Lute Olson left Iowa for the Arizona job back after the 1983 season. So will they look at Fran McCaffrey? Doubtful. But, you know, it would just reinforce the nightmare that certain schools will steal coaches no matter what. So, hey, we're going to take a quick break. There's a reason for that. I'm coming back. I got a lot of ranting to do. When I say ranting, Mrs. Hank said, "Oh God, no, it's not that. It's just we're going to talk. We're going to go into this poly sports stuff tonight." So, I need to keep my head about me as I get into it. So, hey, 2 minutes, 58 seconds while you listen to Jeff Beck, get yourself a coffee, water, a beer, if that's what you're drinking, a glass of wine. Fire up. 2 minutes, 58 seconds. We'll see you back here shortly. And we are back on Hank Jones Poly Sports. Remember the number to call if you want to talk. And I hope if you do call that you're as animated about this as I am, because this, what I'm going to talk about this next rest of the show in the Poly Sports segment just hacks me off to no end. But the number is 319-276-7006. If you want to talk, hit the one. If you want to get in the chat room and chat it up, that would be great. Note, T. Bodie and Indy Hawk KB in the chat room are talking about a bucket list item going to the Masters. They say that's one that our chat group should go to. That would be fun. I admit that. But I got a little bit of info for that. I had a friend, Brother Tommy knew him, from Georgia, who had a place in Augusta where he grew up. He still had a condo or apartment or whatever. He rented, and this is back in the late 80s, he rented that thing out for $1,500 a week, Masters week. I'm sure it's a lot higher now. So if we do go there, if any of us ever go there, if you go visit, it's not going to be cheap from what I understand. Okay, we're going to start off with a Georgia election bill. Now, I'm not going to read it to you because it's 98 pages in a PDF file. But basically, Democrats, the White House, big corporate, Major League Baseball, have said it's voter suppression. It amounts to voter suppression. President Biden, AP Biden, called it sick for forcing polls to close at 5 p.m. Here's that the Washington Post even called that one false. So if you, when the Washington Post is calling something false, you know, okay? Basically, it's called the Election Integrity Act of 2021. So it calls for security and integrity. That's one thing. Absentee ballot drop boxes, which, you know, the state of Pennsylvania made their whole case on it. That's how they were able to purport so much of their fraud, or put forth so much of their fraud. Ballot drop boxes must now be inside secured buildings and will only be accessible when those buildings are open for business. It limits the number of drop boxes to the lesser of one for every 100,000 registered voters, or the number of advanced voting locations county. In other words, if you've got three voting locations, early voting locations, it can be there. It does allow for early voting, by the way. All absentee ballots will be removed from the drop boxes each day by a team of at least two people who fill out a ballot transfer form, includes their identities and an affirmation that the drop box was closed after the ballots were retrieved. The election officials who receive the ballots also required to fill out a transfer form. No big deal, right? They are a public record. The ballot transfer forms to be a public record. President Trump, by the way, more than once, he referred to more than 400,000 transfer forms that haven't been produced yet in response to a request. The law requires the manager of each advanced voting location to open the drop box at the beginning of each day to be sure it's empty. If it's not, they alert local election authorities, who then must notify the Secretary of State. Now, they did away with signature matching in favor of verifying voter ID using driver's licenses, state ID numbers. People without either form can submit the last four digits of their Social Security number. Look, Georgia already requires in-person voters to show a physical ID. That's nothing new. As a result, though, absentee ballots now they're still more prone to fraud because potential perpetrators don't need to produce official government document, ID, et cetera, as those who appear in person do. As it points out, coupling the ID requirement with signature matching would have made it much more difficult to cheat. It also prohibits handing food and drinks to voters in line. Yeah, AP Biden maligned that one. He said it's part of a ban on provision of money, gifts, and other items to voters or poll workers. Ahead of the 2020 election, multiple groups across several states raffled off cash, gift cards, and expensive items for voters who turned up at the polls. And Jim Hoff got kicked off Twitter over stuff like this? I mean, literally, that's why he got kicked off Twitter for that, for pointing those things out. It also provides for Georgia's participation in the multi-state voter registration database to identify voters who have moved or cast ballots in multiple states. This isn't rocket science, and this isn't anything less than basic security and integrity. It prohibits local election superintendents from accepting any private funds unless they're disseminated by county, state, or federal governments. One person pointed out it doesn't go far enough, since private entities can still funnel donations to county and state governments. For instance, Mark Zuckerberg donated more than $400 million in 2020 to local election authorities. Most of that money went to Democrat-leaning counties in swing states. Now, again, some polling officials say this doesn't even go far enough. One said, the idea that Georgia election reform is suppressing voters is a complete lie and actually expands access to early voting. The only thing that this suppresses is the less ability to cheat in future election. The law requires duplication of defective or damaged ballots to be overseen by a bipartisan committee. Who'd have thought that would raise such controversy, huh? Yeah, videos from 2020 election show unsupervised personnel duplicating ballots. They're now prohibited from pausing ballot counting. All of the ballots have been processed. Does that ring a bell, stuff that happens? Election superintendents who fail to post election results in their precincts by 5 p.m. the day after the election could trigger a performance review. It requires local election officials to publish absentee and early voting statistics on a daily basis during the early voting period. Now, access. This is what the left is really, this is what Big Left really is hacked about. They say it makes it harder to vote. The specific provisions cut both ways. Now, look, the bill makes no changes to election day hours. For early voting, the law shrinks the period during which people can apply for mail ballots to 78 days before an election instead of 180 days. But it expands both the hours and the days on which polls are open. Voters will be able to vote during two Saturdays prior to an election, and they are considering Sundays. Localities have the option to expand poll operating hours from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. instead of 9 to 5, instead of, quote, the regular business hours language that was previously in effect. They also have the option of opening the polls for one or two Sundays, as I said, in the early voting period. Requests for a ballot must now be received 11 days prior to an election. Mail ballots will now be sent out 25 to 29 days. Now, here's the other thing it does. It takes away some of the power over election rulemaking that had been nebulous and takes it out definitively out of the hands of the state election board and the Secretary of State and puts it in the hands of the state's legislature. There are provisions and requirements in those provisions for someone who shows up at the wrong precinct, as well as rules for runoff elections. So that's the basic Georgia election bill. Now, this is the starting point for the age that we have now entered in terms of this discussion. So now let's go to another poly sports item, the 2020 Olympic, possible Olympic boycott. The U.S. is actually in discussion with allies about possibly boycotting the 2022 Olympics that are to be held in Beijing. Now, the concerns are basically based on human rights issues, ranging, you know, from China's increased aggression and oppression toward Hong Kong and Taiwan, and the genocide involving the Uyghur Muslims in Xinjiang. Various U.S. political types have reached out to allies across agencies. Congressmen and senators have sent, you know, notices to the Olympic Committee or to State Department. There have been suggestions ranging from an all-out boycott to a possible relocation of the Games, with another suggestion from Mitt Romney, believe it or not, being an economic and diplomatic boycott, which would allow U.S. athletes to compete but not support the Games economically or otherwise. The press secretary for the newly named Biden-Harris administration, stated that no decision has been made and that guidance and input would be needed from the athletes and the United States Olympic and Paralympic Committee. Now, apparently, the International Olympic Committee is full steam ahead on this. Shock. I know. Now, recently, U.S., Canada, the U.K., and the EU have imposed sanctions on Chinese officials involved in the genocide in Xinjiang. And now, it's not clear exactly what those sanctions involved, but it is the first coordinated effort on this particular China human rights issue. So we've got that. Now we've got the MLB All-Star debacle. Okay, so what's that? So last week, Major League Baseball Commissioner Rob Manfred announced Major League Baseball is relocating this year's All-Star game from Atlanta. Now, the event was to include tributes to beloved Braves home run king Hank, along with the usual rookie game, home run derby, and other skill-related events. Now, in his statement, Manfred noted previous statements from AP Biden urging the move. Manfred also noted that several corporate sponsors, players, and players' union officials consulted on the matter. The recent election reform bill passed by the state of Georgia. Now, some of the corporate types apparently behind this, Coca-Cola, Delta Airlines, Arm & Hammer, Bank of America, Google, and a host of others. Manfred also stated the decision to move the All-Star Game was, quote, the best way to demonstrate our values as a sport. Now, this week, now that's the Korean spy code name for Press Secretary Jen Psaki, because she is always circling back. She tried to distance the Biden-Harris administration, a.k.a. Stalag 13, from any knowledge or input of the move by Major League Baseball. Now, this despite the fact that Major League Baseball's written press release actually said the following. The decision comes a little more than a week after the passage of SB 202, a Georgia law that President Biden criticized, saying that it will restrict voting access for residents of the state. Yeah. Also this week, Commissioner Manfred announced the All-Star Game will be relocated to Denver and will still include the tributes to Hank Aaron. Never mind that Hank Aaron never played a game in Mile High Stadium or ever played a game against the Colorado Rockies. Yeah, somehow Denver is supposed to conjure up images and warm feelings of Hank Aaron. Now, not surprisingly, there have been calls by some to strip Major League Baseball of its exemption under the Sherman Antitrust Act. Now, look, the Supreme Court noted back in the 1970s, we talked about that last week with Hawkeye Mike, they noted that baseball was essentially a sport and not a business. Now, clearly that line has been obliterated. This was a business decision, and it was based on elections that have nothing to do with baseball. Nothing in terms of the sport of baseball required this decision. Nothing. So now we get to the incredible hypocrisy of this. Now, as has been pointed out by several people, social media, Google searches, news articles, the Atlanta metro area is about 51% minority, quote, minority, meaning not just black, but Hispanic, Asian, and whatever. And about 46% of businesses in the metro area are minority owned. So, how about that bastion of woke Denver, Colorado? Well, the numbers are a bit puzzling. You see, Denver is about 23%, quote, minority. And about 9% of its businesses are, quote, minority owned, unquote. Yeah, nothing demonstrates the values of a sport like those numbers, huh? Major League Baseball cites the recent voting reform bill. Now, the problem? Some of the companies supporting the move are based in Georgia or even Atlanta. Are they going to move too? And do they not see this as a business decision? Right down to the effect it will have on local businesses, hotels, restaurants, bars, entertainment venues. Now look, AP Biden, along with Democrat New York Senator Chucky Schumer, they cite the restricted access of the Georgia bill. Well, guess what? In his quasi-home state of Delaware, AP Biden's quasi-home state, there is little to no early voting. The burden for absentee or mail-in voting is much more rigorous than it is in Georgia, and there are no ballot boxes on street corners waiting to be stuffed. Ditto New York. Another feature of the Georgia bill, disallowing political groups handing out food and water to voters who are in line, that's already prohibited in Delaware and New York. As I mentioned, it also prohibits donations of food and beverages and other gifts to election workers or offices. But note that part of the reason, Facebook's Mark Zuckerberg provided almost $400 million worth of that stuff in the 2020 election across targeted and strategic areas. Isn't that not shake you up a bit? Oh, by the way, the Georgia bill actually does provide for unattended, non-decorated water cooler machines at election venues, 150 feet or more away, as required. Now, the law provides for 17 early voting days with, as I said, provisions for two Sundays to be added. Delaware, none, zero, zip, zilch, nada, none. More? Okay, this week, as I said, the Masters, you know, tees off in Augusta, at Augusta National, a private country club. For those who remember, if you'll remember, Augusta once prohibited women and minorities from membership in that club. Anyone want to guess who's a member at Augusta National? Major League Baseball Commissioner Rob Manfred. Yeah, do you think he plans on resigning that membership anytime soon? Now, what about Coca-Cola and Delta Airlines? You think they have any plans to leave Atlanta or the state of Georgia, where the corporate perks they have will be found almost nowhere else, and certainly not in any state even close to being Democrat blue? You think Coke products are getting expensive now? You haven't seen expensive Diet Woke or Woke Zero until you've seen it produced by a company headquartered in California, New York, yes, Colorado. Yeah, by the way, I haven't drank soda since December 31st, 2020. If and when I return, I sure as hell am not going to drink Woke, Diet Woke, or Woke Zero. Hell no. Would you like to know, by the way, what relationship, if you want to call it that, Major League Baseball has extended and strengthened? I'll tell you, MLB and Tencent have extended and strengthened their streaming rights deal through 2023. Tencent, you ask? Who's that? It's a media company in China. Yes, China. The same China that U.S. State Department and Justice Department officials are considering boycotting in the 2022 Olympics. While, yes, at the same time, Major League Baseball will have games streamed in China and new Asian markets until 2023. Yeah, nothing demonstrates Major League Baseball's, quote, values as a sport, unquote, like extending and increasing a streaming deal with a Chinese media company. You know, a country that commits genocide, lies about the dangers of a virus that ultimately has killed over 2.5 million people worldwide. Yeah, that China. Now, the ID falsehood. Big Left claims it's too hard for minorities to get proper ID. The voter ID is discriminatory. Here's the irony. PayPal requires an ID to open an account with them. In addition, folks, you need an ID to do all of the following. Purchase booze, cigarettes, cigars, open a bank account, apply for food stamps, Medicaid, welfare, Social Security, a job, unemployment, or a mortgage, rent a house, buy a house, drive a car, rent a car, get on a plane, get married, buy a gun, adopt a pet, rent a hotel room, get a hunting or fishing license, buy a cell phone, gamble at a casino, or buy lottery tickets. Yeah, but somehow an ID proving you are who you say you are in order to vote is discrimination. Clear up something else. The recent spate or apparent spate of anti-Asian hate crimes, if it's true, it's repulsive. Now, what I'm saying is they're turning it into all of a sudden. You know what? I'm only hearing about it, though, from Big Left. You know, I believe it or not, it never occurred to me or any conservative I know or any rational person I know to hold Chinese, Vietnamese, Korean, Japanese, or any other Asian people responsible for COVID any more than one with basic sense would hold any of those same people responsible for the Uyghur genocide or the oppression in Hong Kong or in Taiwan. No sane person with a sense of anything normal in or on this planet would do that. Why? Because most of us can differentiate between a hardworking Chinese restaurateur in downtown Chicago and a red China communist official in Beijing. Yeah, we can actually tell the difference, folks. We can differentiate, big left. Know what else? Those, like me at times, who subscribe to the theory that COVID-19 may have been released from a lab? We know that many of the scientists working in those labs aren't Chinese or anything Asian. They're good old white, subsidized, academic, elite-type Americans. You know, from places like Harvard and other Ivy League elitist colleges and universities. So don't buy into it. In fact, don't even buy into those whining about the white shooting victims of that Al Issa guy that are purposely ignored because they're white. Why? A Muslim maniac is a maniac. A leftist, academic, elitist maniac is a maniac. Maniacs are maniacs. It has nothing to do with victim. White people, don't be crying about the white victims that are being ignored any more than people should be claiming that there's all this sudden outrage against Asian Americans over COVID. Americans know the difference. Americans know that the guy running a Chinese restaurant in Tennessee, the guy in a Chinese lab releasing COVID. But see, big left thinks like that. They purport those theories because that's how big left thinks. Big left is as racist and as elitist as it gets. Yeah, evidently the folks at Koch, Delta et al., they've also been hit with a maniac gene or two. Okay, finally, because this list is so important, it goes to 11, like in Spinal Tap. Yeah, this is number 11 on the rant list. Okay, anyway, we have this from Coca-Cola's 2020 Annual Meeting of Shareholders Guidance Booklet. At the entrance to the meeting, we will verify your registration and request to see your admission ticket and a valid form of photo identification, such as a driver's license or passport. Duplum signis nun alia signa haberent. It's Latin. And from what I gathered when I typed it in, it's Latin for this. If not for double standards, the left would have no standards. I swear to God. Hey, I want to welcome Banjo80 and Vito, our esteemed station manager, Vito Esposito, to the chat room. A couple folks on the phones, Brother Tommy and Big Sister, I see, are listening in. So, yeah, if not for double standards, the left would have no standards. This whole thing, this boycott, or whatever you want to call it, the relocating the All-Star Game, is absolutely disgusting. It is as hypocritical and as loaded with double standard as there is. They literally said a voter bill that increased security was justification removing an All-Star Game from a community that is 51% minority, has 46% minority-owned businesses, taking it to white, woke Colorado. 23% minority, 9% minority-owned businesses. That's what we're dealing with. Vito, while you're in the chat room, I've been talking about the Masters, if you're listening. Who's going to be the who's going to be the Masters champion this week? I know you want Dustin, but who's going to win it? He's not typing. Well, he'll say at some point maybe. I know he's pulling for Dustin Johnson. Okay, finally, I'm going to close with this. I talked about the age that we've entered, the new era. So basically, I'm going to talk about the times in which we live. Okay. You know, often we assign eras or names or ages to times both past and present, the gay 90s, the roaring 20s, the psychedelic 60s. We're past all those, of course. We had the space age. We also live in movie eras, you know, James Dean, biker movies, mob movies, turns and what have you. Up until now, we've basically lived in a terrorist movie scenario. You know, be it the one day in September of the 1972 Olympic massacre, then the space age movies, whether it's true drama like The Right Stuff or whimsical and fantasy stuff like Star Wars, But in terms of this country, we've been in terrorist movie mode. Or at least we were. Now, I'm pretty sure we have entered rollerball mode. Now, for those of you who don't know about the movie Rollerball or have never seen it, Rollerball is a 1975 film. It was remade several years ago. It was made in 1975 and then remade by someone else several years ago. It outlines a brutal game, which is based on a premise and manipulated by a giant world corporate conglomerate. Basically, the game itself is part roller derby, part demolition derby, part pro wrestling, part Mad Max. It takes place on an indoor track and features, in addition to motorcycles and spiked gloves and ineffective helmets, bloodthirsty fans, a ball about the size and weight of a shot put. Brother Tommy knows about the size and weight of a shot put. So teams vie for the ball. The ball is shot out of a propulsion contraption, rolls on the ground in a circle around the track. It circles the track until one team or another can collect it. If it doesn't get collected before it drops to the bottom, it's considered a dead ball. So there are guys assigned to getting the ball. They then hand it from teammate to teammate until the best score on the team with the possession of the ball can force the ball through a chute, like a hole located in a wall around a track. So along the way, opponents hit, tackle, smash, in some cases they kill members of the opposing team. Now, here's where I'm going. Each game begins with the playing of the corporate anthem. Yep, the corporate anthem. Basically, in Houston, the Energy Corporation is their representative. If you're thinking the mafia, that would be the commission representative. Along with a few other major corporations around the globe, they run the world. Now, the main character is a guy named Jonathan E., who is played by James Caan. Excuse me, took a sip of the coffee. Anyway, Jonathan is being forced into retirement or pushed toward retirement. We learn through the film, Jonathan lost his wife. Corporate executive wanted her, and so she was taken away from him. We also see the executive plotting various things. They actually plot to have Jonathan killed in his last game because he won't retire. We even see the executives dictate rules changes from game to game. Sound familiar? Like ad hoc, impromptu election changes? So they do that. Like they say, no penalties this game. This game doesn't have a time limit. What we ultimately learn is that the corporation, with a capital C, what they did was they used the game as a way to strip people of their individuality. To see the pointlessness of a bloody sport and ultimately be willingly subject to control and manipulation by the world elites. Now, what's the reason for them wanting Jonathan retired or even killed? We learn that he's become popular. He's become beloved by fans and teammates and coaches. He's respected by opponents and even loved and respected by opposing fans. So that's where we are now, folks. We're not in the Biden-Harris administration. That's just a name for the press kits and the information disseminators in big media and big tech and big school and throughout big left. We aren't in a Biden administration because Joe Biden is a version of a Hogan's Heroes character, Sergeant Schultz. Remember that show, The Bumbling Guard at Stalag 13? His patented phrase, I know nothing. That's Biden. He doesn't say I know nothing, but he knows nothing. It's well-suited to Joe Biden. Jen comes out to give statements on occasion, but they are from Joe Biden, and they're probably not from Colonel Klink, a.k.a. Kamala Harris. Folks, we are, and I'm shocked that I never really acknowledged or even understood it until now. We talked about it before in 2016. We are smack dab in the first quarter of the third term of Barack Hussein Obama. Make no mistake, he is running the White House. So, what now? What now? Well, as I've said before, and I'll continue to say, be prepared. Have provisions, like you're preparing for a hurricane or a snowstorm. Arm yourself. I'm serious. Arm yourself. Not with the idea of violence or aggression, but with an eye on defense and protection. Look, while Big Left will gleefully proclaim and defend artistic differences or opposing sports loyalties or the wearing of different shirts and jerseys representing their different alma maters. Or they'll abide the fact that some folks watch CNN while others watch MSDNC, or some want network and broadcast news and not cable. What they will not stand for is differing ideology, social, political, or otherwise. To these people, really, rights are for those who lust for taking rights from others. To them, guns are the evil instrument to be removed from the commoners before they turn them on those commoners who won't submit. Freedom of speech isn't even a freedom if you don't or won't relinquish that freedom when they deem it necessary. Independent business and entrepreneurship, to them, it's only worthy if you share it with others when they want to take it from you. Yeah, we may very well be entering the age of the corporation with a capital C. That is what we are, you know, effectively, that's where I think we are. We're in the age of the corporation. Finally, we got today's Laffy. How many Democrats does it take to solve a problem? Anyone in the chat room? Anyone want to call in? How many Democrats does it take to solve a problem? The answer is none. Nobody knows because it has never happened. That's the answer to today's question. Okay, we got a caller on the line. You're on Hank Jones Poly Sports. Is this Brother Tommy?
It is, and my quick answer is going to be, and you cut to the quick. Too many. How many does it solve? Does it take to solve a problem? You said none. My opposite was the, or my answer was the opposite. Too many. In other words, we're going to have a Senate committee. We're going to have a congressional committee. We're going to get 650 fucking people to figure this bullshit out.
So what it is, it's actually,
you,
it's actually
you said your answer.
It's actually like the dividing, you know, dividing by zero, which you can't do. It's the infinity divided by zero. It's never happened, so we don't know. It's literally never happened. That's where we are, though.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but I had an old boss who said once, and he was actually a lib, but he was a thought-out lib. And his thing was, what do we do in Washington? We have a problem. We set up a committee to try to figure it out, and then they spend 10 months figuring out that which they can't figure out. Then they set up subcommittees. It's just a never-ending thing. That's what I thought. It evidently was a trick question because my answer was too many and your answer was zero.
It's not zero. It's nobody knows because it's never happened. It's literally never happened. I don't know. How about Luca Garza though, man, winning, literally swept the awards.
The only thing I was going to say beyond that was, because I listened to your statements on that earlier, and I know you do, and I know Hawkeye Mike does, but doggone it, I'm going to say it till the cows come home. His father deserves props, man. His father.
Oh, absolutely.
Props.
Absolutely.
And I know that you usually in the past have done it. Today you were just rightfully so focused on Luca, but his father deserves props. I don't know what that guy did. I don't know what's in his Cheerios. He's putting something in there that makes him an awesome father, but and Luca will even say, hey, it was all my dad. My dad did this. Yeah. But, No, I'll let you go. I just wanted to quickly interject that about too many. And it's funny because sometimes opposites are equal, and yours was zero and mine was too many.
But it's actually zero. I shouldn't have said zero. The actual answer is nobody knows because it's never happened. It's like dividing by zero. You don't like somebody said dividing by zero. You can't. There's no way to do it. So when somebody says, "What is it? What do you get?" We don't know. It's literally something we can't know.
I was talking to a friend of mine, from Arizona today, and you got to go back to Gingrich before. And his thing is, and he's a lib, but his thing is, I'm so sick of the divisiveness. And he's like, no one compromises anymore. And we literally got to go back to it. It doesn't sound like a lot, but it is a lot. You got to go back to Clinton before there was, since there has been compromise. Clinton and Gingrich did compromise. Since then, we have had absolutely no compromise. And that to me is the sad part of the story, you know, and I'm not going to go off on it. I told you I don't even listen to the stuff anymore. But I heard something the other day about some bill. Not one single Republican voted for it, nor should they have. But my point is the divisiveness and stuff. It's just it's just ridiculous. And I think you're right. I'm surprised you didn't bring up Ayn Rand or what's his name that wrote 1984?
George Orwell, yeah.
Orwell, yeah. Because, I mean, the stuff that they prophesized back 30, 40 years ago, we would laugh at. And now it's like, oh, my God, it's reality. I mean,
yeah,
it is
reality. I mean, you know, I was talking about that Alcee Hastings death earlier. I was reading up, he you remember how he was, I didn't hear him after the January 6th of this year, but he objected to both the 2000 and the 2004 election results. He didn't want them certified in Congress. And yet, when this year, when people were doing it, the left was acting like, oh, no, we always do it. No, you don't always do it. You've objected before.
Okay, well, my only problem with that argument, and you're right, it's a very legitimate argument, but my problem with it is we told them to get off their pedestal when we legitimately won the election in 2016. If you haven't guessed, I'm outside, and that's a jet. I live by MacDill Air Force Base. But so, you know, I don't like to go too overboard. And you had a guest who had very coherent points on election fraud and all that. But you know what? I just don't want to sound like them, you know?
Yeah, I agree. I know
what you mean. Yeah, I've got mixed feelings on it. And like I said, I don't fault anymore.
Do we become what they were for the next 4 years? You know, I mean, where they literally attacked President Trump on anything and everything? That literally won't solve anything. But by the same token, the conservative elitists or the conservatives in power, so to speak, in positions of power, aren't doing anything for us either. So,
well, yeah, and I totally agree with that. Number one, number two, I think it's a lesser of evils in this fact. In as far as Republicans, Democrats, it's a lesser of evils. And number three, you didn't do this on the show, but you did it in a text yesterday. And you're right. We might have to. You didn't use the term so boldly, storm Capitol Hill, but you're like, you know what? We got to start being more vocal. And I think that's the problem with Republicans. We're not vocal. Hey, guilty as charged here. That's just like, I don't want to have anything to do with it. But you're right. That might be what it takes to change things, you know.
So, yeah. I mean, even the people that went to Washington January 6th, other than the few that, you know, comparatively speaking, that went in, for the most part, those were peaceful people. They weren't marching to overturn the election. They were marching, quote unquote, stop the steal. But you know what?
Well,
you know,
yeah,
like Godfather 2, the left played that one beautifully. You know, I mean,
my problem with that was, and like I told you, and I've said it before on the show, I don't watch it anymore. My problem with that was they made something. You're right. The left played it beautifully. They made something out of absolutely nothing. There was nothing nefarious about that. Turned it into one of the most nefarious actions since Watergate, you know, however they want to
claim
their bullshit. And,
But
hey, I'll let you go. I know you got to wrap up your show. I just had to throw that in. Too many.
Okay, well,
that's how many it takes to make a decision. Too many. All right. We'll talk to you in a bit.
Talk to you later. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Brother Tommy, he did let go with an F-bomb there, but he didn't. He meant it in the greatest spirit, so to speak. Vito has spoken up on the Masters. Okay, so he says John Rahm will be pumped after the birth of his first child. He'll be pumped, however, on Sunday he will hit a wall and fatigue will set in. Tony Finau is a great pick, however, he has proven he can't close the door on Sundays. If he should get his first major and close the proverbial door, his career will take off. Jordan Spieth is back, tough to win back-to-back on the PGA. Would be cool if he does. Not sure he can master the Masters course a second week in a row. Now, Sergio Garcia is finally putting well, but not sure he has enough in the tank this week. Another dark horse is Victor Hovland. He's fearless and has great short game, which is also why Colin Morikawa will make a run. So that's Vito on the Masters for those that bet it or whatever. He also said earlier, Sung Jae Im would be the first Korean-born player to win the Masters. So Vito's got seven picks, I guess. But Vito has also started drinking Dr. Pepper. He's not drinking Woke Zero or Diet Woke. So There you go. That's Vito's take on the Masters and on the Coca-Cola company. By the way, you know, for those that are saying boycott Coke, Banjo 80 mentioned it. Others have talked about it on Facebook. You got to look at what else they make. They make a ton of other stuff. Dasani water, Minute Maid orange juice. I actually saw a list, and I don't have it in front of me. But there's like, you know, there's a list of like 20 products that are from Coca-Cola. So don't just think that when you don't drink Diet Woke or Woke Zero that you're, you know, I mean, there are other products that they make. So don't buy Minute Maid orange juice. Don't buy Dasani water. By the way, people, don't be buying bottled water. I know we keep some in our house for like if we're working out in the yard or my father-in-law's over and wants water, but because we've been out walking or whatever, but you know, don't buy, that's so crazy buying water. Now it's come down in price. I got to say that. I remember when it used to be expensive, but you can get a, you know, go to Rural King or Sam's Club and get it for nothing, but don't be buying bottled water. Come on. You can get it free out of your faucet for all intents and purposes. Okay. So as I said, we may indeed be entering the age of the corporation with a capital C. If you haven't seen the movie Rollerball, look it up. You could probably stream it. It's probably on demand on one of your cable channels. It's a very good indicator of how sterile and controlling we become in our society, whether it's a corporation or our government or both working together. Like I said before, the hypocrisy of Major League Baseball, just absolutely mind-blowing. It's not even clever. I mean, you know, sometimes they're able to clever do something in a clever sense. Not here. Somebody pointed out that maybe they just wanted to move the All-Star game and they used that as an excuse. But actual Atlanta or Georgia-based corporations pushing for this, that's what's so surprising. To push business out of your locale, an event on this scale. I mean, it would be like telling them we don't want the Super Bowl in New Orleans because, or whatever. I mean, you don't throw an event like that away. But these are corporations based there that wanted that. That's why it's so shocking, at least to me. So, hey, thanks for being here. As I said, I want to thank those that were listening in the chat room, Banjo 80, Indy Hawk, T Bodie, Vito, and Brother Tommy and Big Sister on the phones. Had a couple anonymous numbers earlier. I must have bored them to tears. And thanks to Mrs. Hank for getting me a new headset and making sure it works and for getting some water for our adorable little dog. Folks, you all have a good week. Enjoy the Masters this weekend. Should be, as Vito says, a good time. And it's, you know, it's a traditional time. November is not a good time for the Masters. It's a different, I mean, it might have had some fall color, but it doesn't have the spring blooms. So, have a good week. Enjoy the Masters. Enjoy your weekend. Be safe. Don't forget to thank God for what you have. Don't forget to ask him to, hey, look out for others that are maybe less fortunate. Have a good weekend. Good night, and God bless, folks.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.